I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and today we're going to take a special look at some of the turmoil that's going on in our country. I was moved to do this special edition of the program because what I see going on the last couple of days, and I see another step towards chaos. Can you feel? You can feel it building, can't you? Towards this election? I mean, there's so much going on. One day you're hearing from the pundits that it's crystal clear the Democrats are going to take over the House of Representatives, and then they're going to change the entire Trump program. Everything's going to change. We're going to go after him and investigate him. And then you hear on the other side from different people that are doing polls that say, well, not so fast. The Republicans might hold on, and then they would keep power in the House of Representatives. I have no idea how it's going to go. It's only a couple of weeks away, and it could go either way. That's the beauty of our democracy. People get the government they deserve. So what we see is that people are going to go to the polls in a couple of weeks, and they're going to pull levers for different candidates. I can't tell you whether they're going to be candidates who are conservative, candidates who are liberal. All I know is that people in our country get the right to make these choices. And I don't know, I don't want to say people are not informed, but it's just shocking. Don't you find it shocking that just 2 years ago there was this major wave that went to the right? Donald Trump was elected because we want to change all these things about our country. And now, 2 years later, many of the people in our country are going to say, nah, let's go back a little bit. You know, I just heard on the news, I was watching some different programs out there, and I see that Obamacare is now favored by 54% of Americans. Now, I can't tell you if that's a real poll or if that's a made-up poll, because you know how that goes with the fake news. You ask the right questions, you can get the answer you want to any particular question. But I think what's happening is that a lot of people in our country want the government to provide for them. They're afraid. They're afraid that they're not going to have the health care they need. They're forgetting that just 2 years ago when they voted for Trump and for change, the reason we wanted to get rid of this Obamacare is because, sure, you might have insurance. Technically, you have an insurance policy. But your policy is costing you $3,000 a month, and you have a $10,000 deductible, which means you're going to pay $30-something thousand for your family to have a policy. Then you have to spend $10,000 out of your pocket before you can even put in to get the first doctor visit for your kid's sniffles covered. That's $46,000. To some people, that is almost their entire year's income. It's ridiculous. But people now seem to be looking back and going, oh, at least we had coverage. They don't realize they just had a bill. They didn't actually have coverage. So that's something that we're looking at. Now, let's talk about these pipe bombs. This is an interesting development. Now, throughout the past, I'm going to say 10 or 15 years, every single time one of these people pops up, whether it's a mass killer, other than like a school shooter, but like an adult mass killer, we see the left in our country and the media scream and holler, it must be a Tea Party member who did this. And then it turns out, not so much. It's a crazy liberal. And then we see, the Unabomber's got to be some crazy right-wing anti-American guy. Oh, no, it's a left-wing professor kind of guy who's got all this hatred. When the crazy guy attacked the baseball field and started shooting at all the Republicans, this was a crazy man. All right, this was a guy who had some mental problems, some anger problems. Who knows what he had? He didn't like Republicans because he was spurred on by the Democrat message, and he went out and tried to kill people. Now, do I think that Bernie Sanders, because he was a Bernie Sanders supporter, do I think Bernie Sanders is responsible for that? Of course not. Now, this guy with these bombs that are going around now, we're hearing the media is absolutely, this is their moment. They think they found their October surprise. This guy is out there planting bombs, and it's because of Trump. And they're all over it. It's amazing to watch. There's no hold back. There's no introspection. There's no let's find out. And I'll tell you why. This guy very well could be a right-wing nut that's doing this. Okay? He could be a right-wing nut that believes in all kinds of conservative policies. But he's also a nut. Okay? Or he could turn out to be some left-wing guy who's trying to help the Democrats by creating a hoax. We don't know. The hoax thing is kind of tougher to go for. I think this is probably going to be a crazy person. We just don't know the reasoning behind him doing this or her doing it. But we know somebody's doing it. They plant. So far, they sent 10 bombs. So instead of the media waiting to find out who it is, they're immediately using this as an opportunity to smack Trump. And they're even jumping up and down screaming. They're upset because he won't take personal responsibility for his words that caused this person to do this. Well, I think that's ridiculous. And I think anyone who looks at it honestly would have to say there is so much hatred and violence being pumped up on the left that we see people actually going out and confronting people and showing up. But this guy that's doing these bombs, and I'm going to say guy, because I think probably much more likely it's a guy than a girl. It could be a girl, but most more likely it's going to be a guy that's doing this. The reason I think the media is going all over this is because they know that even if it turns out tomorrow night, we find out the FBI arrests him and he's some left-wing, lunatic, communist-loving, crazy guy who did this conspiracy thing to make the Republicans look bad, the media people are never going to turn around for 1 second and go, oops, you know, we were wrong. We blame this whole thing on Trump and we jumped the gun. They're not going to do that. They're just going to gloss right over the fact that he's some left-wing nut and they're going to let it go. And that's going to be the end of it. But if it turns out it's a guy on the right, that's some right-wing nut or militia guy or whatever, they are going to pound that forever and ever and ever. They forget all the other incidents. And this is where I see the frustration that Trump has. Now, I don't always agree with the way he says things. If I was the president, I don't think I would say them that way. I like the fact that he fights back, and I like that he calls them out. Make no doubt about it. We haven't seen anybody like that in a very long time. And that's really a game changer. It's really good for the country. What I don't like is the crude way he says things or stuff like that. But you know what? We've all said that 1,000 times. The fact is the guy fights back. And the left hates that. The media hates it. So here we have this situation going on. They're hunting for the bomber. Now, apparently, it was said in some different media reports that the bombs were not built in such a way that they would actually function. Okay, so let's talk about functioning bombs, because that's a bomb word, function. Will the bomb function? When people build a bomb type of device, an explosive. Lots of people can build a good explosive. What they can't build is a good detonator to make it function. So if we think about the underwear bomber, all right, that guy, he built a bomb in his underwear and he's going to blow up an airplane. He was a terrorist guy. And he built a good bomb, but he couldn't get it to function. And of course, it didn't go off. Then we had the shoe bomber. The shoe bomber built a very good bomb, but he couldn't get it to function. If we go back as far as Columbine High School and the attack by the two killers in that incident, that was actually a bombing incident to begin with. They brought in propane tanks, you know, like for your barbecue grill. They brought those in to the school and they put them there the night before with the timers on them. And the whole idea was that those bombs would go off in the cafeteria, all the students would run out of the school, and they were going to wait outside and shoot them. So that was actually a bombing incident, where once again, it was an okay idea for a bomb if they could have made a detonator and had the bomb function, but they couldn't. So these bombs we're seeing sent around all over to these Democrat people, leaders and people who are progressive people, Robert De Niro and whatever. What we're seeing is that they're saying some of these bombs never would have functioned. They haven't come out completely on their complete analysis, but they're saying it's black powder and it could be bombs that just don't function. So one of two things happens here when they have a bomb that won't function. Either the person who made it really doesn't know what they're doing. You know, maybe they read something on the internet because, you know, believe it or not, There's stuff on the internet, how to make a bomb. So maybe they read something and they couldn't put it together properly. They couldn't make the timer function. They couldn't make the electric circuit function, whatever they were using. I don't know. I haven't seen the bombs yet, other than they, you know, they're pipe bombs. Or they made this to look like a bomb, to have some black powder in it, to scare everybody and not really blow up. Now, why would somebody make something like that so it wouldn't really blow up? I can only think of two reasons. Number one, they're trying to create a scare. And number two, they're trying to set themselves up for a defense that if they get caught, they can say, listen, the experts will tell you, these bombs never would have went off because I didn't make it way for it to function. So maybe it could be something like that. I don't know. We're all speculating right now because we don't have the information. So where's this going to go? I don't know. Again, I ask the question, where do we go from here? You know, what's next in this situation? And I don't think anybody can tell us. But you can see how this whole situation is escalating. The comments, the words, the desperation to get power back, the desperation to teach Trump a lesson, to hurt him in the media and the left-wing politicians is unbelievable. I had a conversation today with a guy, very interesting, very nice man. I like him. I knew he was a little bit more on the progressive side of things. And we don't really talk politics, other than talking to you here on Chasing Justice. I don't really talk politics. I try and like everybody, and everybody has an opinion, and like a stop clock, everybody's usually right twice a day. Doesn't mean they're right in everything, but, you know. So anyway, I'm having this conversation with this guy. And it started out in general about this bomb situation. You know, what do you think of this bomb situation? Because he knows I'm, you know, law enforcement. And I said, well, you know, it could be anything. It could be a crazy person. It could be a right wing. Could be a left wing, whatever. And this guy became so incensed. He says, it's Trump's fault. It's completely Trump's fault. The way he talks is horrible. The things he says, he's making these people go out and attack people. He's divided the country. And the man got himself really upset, kind of like what you see these people on TV. When you see these liberals spitting mad and screaming, hollering, like unhinged. Really, I mean, I've heard that word a million times on TV. And it really is the way these people respond. They get this emotional thing going on inside of them where they just can't find. And it comes spitting out of them, and they're angry and they're incensed. And you can see their face contorts and they get all upset. And that's how this man was. And I just raised my hand. I was like, listen, I have no idea, you know, why this happened. Why don't we find out? And he got up so upset with me for saying that instead of agreeing with him that, yes, it's Trump's fault. Just like the media. They want him to come out and go, you know, it's my fault that this guy's planting bombs because of the way I talk about things. If I was just nicer to everyone, then this guy wouldn't be out there planting bombs. That's what the media is demanding that the president say. But they don't say anything like that about the people when they attack the Republicans, when they're in mobs coming after people. So this man was so upset with me, and I raised my hand and I said that he walked out of the room in a huff, and then he stopped and put his head back in the room and goes, he's horrible. Trump is horrible. And he walked away. Now, I get people don't like what he says. I get that what he's trying to do, putting conservatives on the courts and trying to hold people accountable to the law and all of that really upsets people on the progressive side because they don't want that. He's keeping the Constitution strong. They don't want the Constitution. I'm not saying these things as a negative. I'm saying this as a reality. The Constitution is an impediment to what they want to do. Why do they want the courts so much? Because if they were to come out and honestly tell us what they believe and what they want to do, we wouldn't vote for any of it. So they have to lie about it, and then they can't get it through the legislation because the politicians are smart enough to know, wow, if we go full out for socialism and what our party really wants, people probably won't vote for that. So instead, they call it other things, and they get the court, and they put left-wing liberal judges on the court who will legislate from the bench. Probably one of the biggest dangers that there are is judges legislating from the bench. But that's how the left has functioned in our country. And Trump is putting very conservative people on the courts who are not going to legislate from the bench. You know, as an example, you know, if you got something that you want to pass that's in the liberal point of view, you put it out there and you get it into the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals out in San Francisco, and you know it's going to go completely liberal. Doesn't matter what the Constitution says, doesn't matter what the law says, doesn't matter what's right or wrong. If it's a liberal agenda item, that court is going to back it up. They're going to find that it's constitutional. They're going to find things in the Constitution that don't exist so that they can stand up and say this is constitutional. And that court gets overturned all the time. And they get overturned all the time because they don't go by constitutional issues. They go by their left-wing leanings. And they use the power of being a judge to legislate from the bench. This is a danger to the country. So in this first segment here, looking at these, at the bombs and seeing what's going on, we're going to find out soon enough, because apparently just from what they're leaking out in information, with 10 of them that haven't detonated, and some of them obviously that we're being told cannot detonate, therefore they probably will be loaded with all kinds of forensic information. You know, where these things were mailed from. What post office they went through. Why don't those stamps have, stamp cancellation marks on them? Who knows? You can see that manila envelope, and that thing inside of it looks like it's got to be at least a pound or so, right? A pipe bomb is a hunk of metal with two metal caps on it filled with something. It's got to be a pound or two inside an envelope like that. I don't know about you, but if you try and mail a manila envelope at the post office today, it's going to be a lot more than like $4 worth of stamps. So how does that got through the system? Were these things actually mailed, or were they delivered? Were they made to look like they came through the mail so that the innocent people would pick them up and I guess be scared or have them blow up? We'll find out. But apparently there's going to be a lot of forensic evidence within those 10 items. So eventually, I guess they're going to be able to at least come up with a potential suspect, and then they'll go looking to bring that person into custody and see who they are, see what they're all about, why they did this. A couple of things could happen there. They name a suspect, or they go after him first, which would probably be smarter. I would go after him before I would name him, because if you name him and he's just waiting to find out what's going on, he could take off. So the person will either turn themselves in because they want to make their political statement, they'll kill themselves because they don't want to go to jail, or they'll make a run for it and they'll be captured, and then we'll find out who they all are. Those are a couple of the choices that I see coming up with this whole situation. I would hope they don't just draw a blank and not be able to use any forensic evidence to find someone. So ladies and gentlemen, there we are. The American Civil War of 2018 rages on. 2 weeks till Election Day, and people are going to pull the pins on the election booths, and we're going to determine where our country's going. I'm going to tell you right now, put on a helmet, strap it down tight. Hang on, it's going to be a crazy ride. I think there's a lot more to come between now and Election Day. People are desperate. I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and this is Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network. We'll be right back.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
We are in the neighborhood today. Boy, and there is a lot going on. So I got the fellas here. Everybody's ready to roll. We've had some early conversation, and I said, hey, we have to get this on the show. So first we have Jim, the Contrarian Giordano. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. How are you?
Very, very good. I'm glad you're here. Glad you're back. I got all the boys back in the neighborhood. Bill, the man of faith, Dallas. Bill, we're going to need some counseling from you today with what's going on. How are you?
I'm ready to serve.
Ready to serve. Very nice. And, of course, last but not least, who's been missing the last couple of weeks, we have Jack, rock and roll race car driver Patterson. Jack, how are you?
Hey, Joe. It's great to be here.
Good. Welcome back. You know, it was funny. I was listening to our own show the other day, and I heard me make a comment about, you're out, you know, you were trying to get here really fast, but you couldn't get here quick enough. I said, for a race car guy, that's not a good thing. You should have got here faster. But thanks for being here today. That's great. So here in the neighborhood, boy, there's a lot going on out there in America, right? We're getting closer and closer to these elections. We've had a big week, a big things going on in our country. A lot of people were talking about some of the events maybe being October surprises. Maybe they were some October surprises. They're talking about the caravan, and now apparently there's a second caravan on its way. That could be an October surprise. What's the president going to do? Kind of a showdown, isn't it, right? All these people are going to show up at the border, and are we just going to let them in, or is Trump going to stop them? What's he going to do to stop them? So we're going to talk about that for a couple minutes. We also had the mad bomber who was captured. And there was a lot of conjecture about who the mad bomber would be, what he was all about before we got him, then we got him. And then unfortunately, tragically, we had the shooting in Pittsburgh at the synagogue where 11 people were killed in a synagogue. They were in there having a religious service, and another crazed individual showed up and killed 11 people and injured a lot more, including four police officers were injured very badly. So here we are in the neighborhood. This is stuff that people are talking about around the campfires, around the tables. Jack, what do you think on any one of them topics? Lead us off.
Well, on those topics, I mean, first of all, it's absolutely sickening to think that you can't even go to a house of worship and be safe. Many of these people that were shot and or killed, I believe, were elderly. They were there for a baby naming ceremony, and it's just so sad. On the other points, I just think it's funny how the caravans seem to be coinciding with the midterm elections that are coming up. I think they're actually going to arrive at the border the day before to try and coerce everybody to vote for the left. On Fox News today, it was announced that some of the funding was coming out of Venezuela. That was our Vice President, Mr. Pence, stating that as fact. We now have another caravan coming out of El Salvador. Many of the front members of that walking group happen to be already been identified as MS-13 members. So as far as letting these people in, I really think, as we discussed on the last show, we need to still talk about detention centers where we can detain these people, find out who they are, what they are, and whether or not they're going to be productive American citizens.
Interesting.
I disagree. They shouldn't come into this country. This whole caravan is being orchestrated by a socialist government, Venezuela, and by the American socialists, all to present right before the election an opportunity for pictures, and they're going to show babies and mothers to the cameras when we stop them at the border. And they're going to try to tug at the heartstrings of the American
people.
But
the problem with that is, Jimmy, and I don't disagree with you wholeheartedly, but the problem with that is if they're going to stop them, physically stop them at the border, at what there is of a wall there that we've seen on television. But if they're going to make a wall out of our military and try and physically stop these people, it's going to be physical altercation. And, of course, that's all going to be blamed on Trump. The powers that be.
Absolutely.
Whether it be Trump and or everybody in his cabinet, it's going to be blamed on him. It's going to be blamed on his rhetorical speech. And this is my idea is only this, to bring them across the border into a detention center where they can be fed, where they can be looked after medically, where we can make sure that the children are okay, make sure that the pregnant women are okay. We don't want to hurt anybody. We don't want anybody to be harmed.
Well, Jack, let me ask you, though. Once they get one step onto our border, they have a right to say, I want asylum, and then we have no place to keep them. We have to give them a wrist bracelet and tell them to come back in 3 weeks and leave. Once they touch that border,
if you can get them to a center where they can be detained, they're being detained.
Well, and I agree, that might be a work, but right now we don't have facilities for 14,000 people.
Yeah, understood. There's approximately, as I understand it right now, there's approximately just under 8,000 people on their way. Mm-hmm. And I understand that we don't have room for them.
We don't have room for 8,000 people.
You know, Bill mentioned an interview with one of these members who actually admitted that he was under investigation for attempted murder. These people coming across, they're going to say, I want asylum. But there's got to be a reason for asylum. I mean, It's political asylum. Your life is being threatened by your own government.
Religious
asylum.
That does
asylum. Not exist. Yeah. Religious, mm-hmm.
that
sure. does not
and that has to be that has to be investigated. But to investigate that, how are we going to go investigate back in Honduras what one woman or one man says happened to him when there's 8,000 people? Who's going to go do that? Who physically does the investigation? That's why we'll get back to you. Here's your bracelet. Come back in 3 weeks for your hearing. Most of the people never come back. There's 700,000 case backlog right now.
An asylum is a war, a famine, something of that nature. Asylum isn't because, oh, listen, I got a hangnail, and they can't fix it in Venezuela.
Well, you know, and that's a good point. But the thing is, when you live in a country where some of these people are coming from, that there are gangs running wild, the drug cartels are killing people left and right, that is dangerous. I get that. That's dangerous. My thought in my opening segments, what I had spoken about was, you know, our forefathers lived under a very dangerous situation where the British came and burned their farms, did all kinds of stuff to them. They decided to take the move for freedom very seriously. They united together and they were willing to fight and die for what they wanted. They were willing to sacrifice their lives, their fortunes, and everything else for their freedom. These people are not willing to do that. They want to just come here and have us take care of them. And I don't know that we can.
But once again this morning, if I just change the subject just a little bit, one of the favorite things that I see on television happened again this morning. They played a very, very convincing, very heartfelt speech about protecting our border, about not letting people flood our country, is the exact quote. And not let all these people in just because they want to be in. There's got to be a reason for them to come in, as we were just saying. And that speech was made by President Barack Obama when he was still a senator in 2015.
Mm-hmm. Right. There's a lot of hypocrisy there because we see Hillary making the same speeches. We see Barack Obama made those speeches.
And Mr. Clinton made that same speech about the most important thing in the United States of America is for us to protect our sanctity and our borders.
And I think Chuck Schumer said the same thing. But now they've all changed because now it's politically expedient to have those people here to make Trump look bad. Bill, as our man of faith here, all right, I fall to you with these kind of questions. When these people show up on the border, and you're an American serviceman, and troops are going to be put on the border. They're not going to cross the border into Mexico to create a phalanx line to keep these people, right? They're going to be in America. So as soon as they touch the ground and all the cameras are going to be running to make sure we don't brutalize innocent people, those people have a claim. So is our military going to step over the border and keep them from coming? What happens when people's trying to push past these soldiers? What do you think is going to happen?
It reminds me of what went on back in the 60s. When you had all the protesters protesting against the war. Now you have people that are coming in and they're basically invading our country. And back then, the hippies, for lack of a better word, the protesters and hippies and everything, they were putting flowers in the gun barrels of the National Guardsmen, trying to do something peacefully. Today, we don't have that option. They're coming here. They're attacking our country's sovereignty because just because we're putting armed guards on the border doesn't mean that because they're armed that they can use that armament.
Right. So what's the purpose of them being there then? What
it's
are they going to do?
It's a show of force. It's a show of force. But in most cases, they know that we're not going to use that force.
Right.
And
so don't we look even more weak that they push past our soldiers and come, just like we saw them knocking the fences down in Guatemala or Mexico on the border? The army guys just stood around. Our American soldiers are going to stand around and all these people are going to push past them and come streaming into the country. What are we going to do then?
You know, the election can't come soon enough because I know that what's going to happen is we're going to get through this election, all the right people are going to be in place, and what's going to happen is then Trump is going to be able to do a lot more than he can do. Right now, his hands are tied, and he's saying he's going to put all the troops down there, but the troops are like using dummy rounds in a real battle.
Bill, he's done the right things. He pressured Mexico with economics. Mexico offered them asylum. And these people said no. Why is that? Because Mexico is not offering them welfare. They're not offering them food stamps. They're not offering them Social Security. That's what it's all about.
Well, we need to take those things off the table. That's the bottom line.
How are we going to do that? When a mom comes here with her three little children and she's all alone and she has no medical care and one of the children is sick, one of the kid breaks his arm in the detention center, somebody has whooping cough, well, how do we tell them, no, you can't have food and water and medical care?
What is their country doing for them?
Nothing, obviously.
Exactly. Right. They're not doing anything. Why is it that our country's responsibility? We are not the babysitters of the entire world. We cannot take care of everyone. President Trump has been proving that. He's been attacking all of the funding that we've been giving all these countries, and he's been saying, look, we've been giving enough. We have a certain percentage that we're taking back off the table.
Right.
And that's exactly what we need to be doing with some of these
countries that are sending people. Jack, let me ask you this. Is this something you think that the Mexican army should create a phalanx 20 miles from the American border with buses and all their vehicles and stop the caravan from moving forward? In Mexico now. How are they letting them come through Mexico to get here? I hold them absolutely responsible. They're in their country now. Stop them there.
You know, Joe, I happen to agree with you. I happen to agree with the fact that all of the countries where these people are coming from, El Salvador to Honduras, should be responsible for their own people. If they're not being persecuted in any way, shape, or form, then they should not be leaving the country.
But that's
Funding should be cut to those countries for what they're allowing to happen, including Mexico. But Mexico, as we will be shortly, are all on the world stage right now. And all eyes are focused upon what we do or what we don't do. If we don't stop these people from coming in the country, we might as well open up the borders and run for the hills, because they're going to flood this country like no other. And there's just no easy answer to this. But the people who are coming right now need to be stopped, and they need to be put through the process. Regardless of the fact that there's 5,000 or 50,000, they need to be put through a process. They need to be turned away until they can be processed. And the Mexican government, there should be some payback for not working with us. Not just to put up a phalanx themselves to stop these people, but to work with us and say, listen, we're going to stand on this side of the Rio Grande. You stand on that side of the Rio Grande, and we'll do everything we can. We haven't gotten that. We've gotten a paper tagger attempt to stop these people, to detain them, or to allow them to become citizens of Mexico. Right. I really don't think there's any heartfelt movement to keep these people from coming to the border.
You see that that caravan, and that and the media shows you, you know, like 50 people wide and several miles long. Put them in line to sign up and to get into our country. They'll go back to their country real quick. As soon as they start finding that they don't have a bathroom, that they don't have people giving them money, because they're not at that point yet. And that's the whole thing.
As soon as we don't supply them with a bathroom, we're the bad guys. But they walked for how many days? A month? Without any facilities whatsoever. But as soon as we don't supply a bathroom, we're the bad guys.
That brings up a good point. How do you move 4,000 or 10,000 people 2,000 miles by foot? Women and children, old people, mostly men when you look at the pictures. How do you move them 4,000 miles or 2,000 miles across Central America without food, water, facilities, shelter? How do you do that?
They showed pictures of trucks. The trucks had cases and cases and cases of water bottles and food supplies and everything. Where are those trucks coming from? They're not coming from the Honduras or Venezuela or any of those Central American countries. They're coming from the United States. And how are they getting there? Who's funding them? That's what we need to find out.
Why can't we seem to find out that answer?
That's a great question.
Well, I'll tell you. Here on the neighborhood, fellas, I appreciate all of this conversation. I want to be very clear. I'm caught up in my emotion to understand. I picture myself being a father or a young man in Honduras, Guatemala, wherever they're coming from, where there is no future. There is no work. There's no life. It's not a modern world. And I see the United States has everything. I have friends there that tell me how great it is to be in America. You can have a job and you can have all this creature comforts and whatever. And I can't blame them for wanting to have a better life for their kids.
But I'm caught between that and saying, well, you know what? My neighbor next door has a better house than me. Do I just don't take my kids and go in the front door and say, well, guess what? We're going to use your pool now. We're going to use your dinner because you got something better than me and I want better for my kids. And I know that's a bad analogy, but I'm kind of caught up in that. How do we turn away people who need us when we have things?
What do you say, as our vice president has touched upon, what do you say to the Hondurans, to the El Salvadorans, to the Mexicans, and all people from around the world? What do you say to those people who have been waiting in line for a long, long time in the process of coming to this country? What do you tell them when these thousands of people march across the border and circumvent everything these people have gone through to become legal U.S. citizens?
Right.
What
people,
do you tell
people
them?
People from Europe, from Eastern Europe, people everywhere. From Western Europe that everywhere. Want to come here, from Asia that everywhere. Want to come here. But you know what? It's become so politicized that, you know, lots of people are incensed by this. And the other half of our country, and I got to say, it's got to be half. I mean, more than 50% of the people who voted in the election admittedly voted for Hillary. If it wasn't for the Electoral College, she would have been the president, which thank God we have that fairness of the Electoral College. But more than half of the people who voted, voted for that liberal left-wing kind of a thought. And this is kind of where we're at. I'm not really sure where it goes from here, but I'm sure as that caravan gets closer and closer, things are going to heat up. Things are going to happen. We're only a week or so away from the elections. And I can't imagine the next thing, but I couldn't imagine last week what would happen this week. So thank you, fellas. You know what? Hang around. We got more to talk about here. We'll come back for the next segment. So Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. We're trying to solve the problems.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
And welcome back, everybody, to Chasing Justice here in the America Out Loud Radio Network. You know, we have the neighborhood guys here. That last segment was hot and heavy because there's a lot going on in our country here. In a minute, I'm going to ask Bill to tell us a story. He has a success story about people who did it the right way. We're going to cover that real quick, and then we're going to move on to the shooting in the synagogue and a couple of the other events that are going on. But I want to tell you about our sponsors here real quick. A-Plus Technology. A-Plus Technology and their sister company, IP Video Corp, have created a device called the Halo. The Halo is used to identify vaping in schools. It's also it recognizes chemicals. It has glass break technology. It also has aggression technology. So it's used in all kinds of schools. It looks like a smoke detector. You stick it up in the ceiling and it can pick up vaping, and then it sends text messages to whoever you tell it to send it to. It can also detect gunshots. So it's an amazing thing. That's A-Plus Technology or IPvideo.com. So take a look at them. And then, of course, my company, True Security Design Pangaro Training. We train and teach people how to be safe, and that's one of the things we'll talk about in a little bit. So, Bill, I know you were saying you knew some people that who did things the right way. Give us a quick synopsis of these people and who they are and what happened.
Okay. It's a long story, but I'll try and make it as short as possible. I have some friends through the church that came here from Sri Lanka, and they didn't just come from Sri Lanka. They had to go through India to England and then to the United States. Our church kind of helped them financially to get here. When they did, they didn't just go for the benefits. All of them worked. It was the mom and dad and three boys, and they always worked every day, sometimes 7 days a week, 14 hours a week. The two of the boys, they became U.S. citizens, and then they became state troopers. They're right now They're state troopers, and the other one works for a major cable company. And they've always worked. They became U.S. citizens the right way.
They followed the rules. And now the two boys, you say they're troopers? So they're serving the community. They got here and they're doing something to give back.
Exactly right. Unfortunately, one of the boys was in a horrific accident, almost died. He was in a coma for a while, but now he's getting back, and thank God he's on the road to recovery. But my point is, they did things the right way, and they benefited by that.
And so did our country by them being here.
Absolutely,
because we're not against immigration. It has to be done legally and properly.
Yes, and they're a perfect example of doing things the right way.
So thank you for telling us about them. So you see, so out there in Chasing Justice Land, we're for immigration here. Just has to be done properly. Bill's friends are an example of people who did the right thing. All right, we're gonna change gears here a little bit. Let's talk quickly, a couple of minutes about the Mad Bomber. Okay, we had a Mad Bomber running around for the last couple of weeks. It's amazing. I talked to a lot of people, and not everybody knew about it because unbelievable. Unlike most of us who are news junkies and are glued to the news stations constantly and news programs, some people had no idea this was even going on. But apparently, there was a guy or a group, we weren't sure at the time, who was out there mailing pipe bomb type devices to major Democrat members of the Democrat Party and supporters. Robert De Niro, Maxine Waters, Hillary Clinton, those kind of people, they all got these bombs in the mail. And there was a lot of conjecture on who was sending this. Was this an October surprise? Was this faked up? Were they sending it to themselves? The fact that people would even consider that the Democrat Party might do something like that, because none of the bombs exploded. And according to some of the reports I got, and I don't know for sure, I've been heard through the grapevine that they were bombs, but they did not have good detonators. So we talked about that in my opening, about having a detonator and what that means. So, Jim, I know you had some commentary on this. What did you think about this?
Well, I called this wrong, Joe. I was so suspicious over the bombs had advertisements on them. The bombs didn't go off. I could have sworn it was a setup. It was an October surprise setup. But when they found this guy, and I give credit to the FBI and the police for finding him, yeah, he seemed to be like just a wacko. He seemed to be a mentally ill wacko that happened to be played right into the media's hands, that happened to be a pro-Trump supporter.
Okay, so there it is right there. Now, this is what the media is going crazy about. The guy was a pro-Trump guy. Does that mean he wasn't crazy?
No.
Does that mean he was unbalanced? No. When we saw his car, he had all the posters on it. They were all pro-Trump stuff, anti-Democrats. But you know what? The last bunch of incidents that we had, most of these incidents, they always run out and scream, the guy's going to be a member of the Tea Party. And they thought, oh, no, he's not. He's a left-wing nut. This guy's going to be a supporter of GOP conservatives. It turns out he's a nut, not one of those things. Well, in this case, they finally got their wish. They got a guy who was a pro-Trump guy. He's also crazy. The guy that shot Steve Scalise and all those politicians on the baseball field, he was a left-wing guy, a Bernie follower. Did anybody blame Bernie for that? No, the guy's a nut, and he took whatever went on in his head and decided to go shoot people. Well, this guy did the same thing. So
I wanted to point out, though, and I don't want to hog the time, but the media made such a big deal over this. I mean, it occupied all of the news for over a week. And rightly so. You know, nobody should be sending bombs, even fake bombs, to anybody.
Of course not.
But when they mailed ricin, some wackos mailed ricin to Republicans and the Trump family, you didn't hear hide nor hear from
them. Well, that was 100 years ago, wasn't it?
Oh, no. It was just recently.
It was just recently. We didn't hear anything about somebody targeting them. So, again, this is where when the media, I was thinking about this yesterday. Trump calls them fake news, and of course they're blaming his rhetoric about fake news and all this nonsense for causing this crazy guy to go and do these bad things with these bombs. But in reality, instead of the media being responsible and saying, okay, listen, Trump does say some things that can really amp people up, but so do we. We talk about him being a Nazi, he's going to take your food, he's going to kill your children, he's going to do all these bad things to you. That could set people off the other way. So instead of going, you know what, maybe it's a little too hot all the way around. Maybe all of us need to back down and talk about the issues. Instead of doing that, they just picked up a big hammer and said, we have to be more civil. The president has to start because he's a killer and a Nazi and a horrible guy. And they went right after him again. So where are we going with this, Jack?
You know, the problem that I saw with the whole thing is watching it through the news, watching it through various news channels too, not just through Fox, not just through One American News, but through a lot of different news channels. I'm watching, you know, what we would know as the liberal or the left media. Really listening to Mr. Trump's speeches, listen to the president's speeches about what had happened, about the person that while we were still looking for them, and about the fact that he gave over all the United States government had to offer in ways of investigation to find this guy and to find this guy now.
Right.
No credit whatsoever. All we heard from the left side of the media was these roundabout, I mean, crazy, going out of their way trying to make a connection somehow, some way. It just seems such a desperate thing, and it makes me so angry. There's no credit given when he gave over the resources of the United States government to find this person.
Right. And I have to agree with you. What I thought was the most telling statement of the people on the media, because it's like they have a meeting in the morning and they all say it on all the liberal stations and channels. They said they were outraged that President Trump wouldn't take personal responsibility for causing this guy to go out and send bombs. Now, is Jake Tapper and all these left-wing guys, are they going to take personal responsibility for the dude who went and shot up the baseball field? I don't think so. I think it's absurd to think the president should come out and say, well, I guess because I fight back, that's what caused this guy to do it. It's ridiculous, but it shows you the mindset of the media and where they're at. That's why he calls them fake news. That's why you can't believe anything that comes out of their mouth, because they're not about reporting the truth or getting to what it is. They're about using it as a club to go after him and conservatives. And I don't get it. Just tell the truth. If one side is right and the other side is wrong, the truth will reveal that very, very clearly.
Joe, the guy who went into the synagogue and shot it up, the news media blamed Trump for that. He happened to, first of all, Trump, you can call Trump a lot of things, but you can't call him an anti-Semite. He's very pro-Israel. He's the only president out of all of them who promised to establish the capital as Jerusalem. His grandchildren are Jewish. He's not an anti-Semite. But of course, the news media has blamed it on Trump. And the guy who shot up the synagogue was, he was an anti-Trump guy. So, I mean, the news media will blame the president for everything. But speaking of which, you know, I'm curious. You have a church. How do you protect a church? I mean, what would you do if a church called you up and said, listen, we need some type of advice on how to protect our congregation?
I was going to ask you that because my church is in dire need of some sort of protection like that. So, Joe, this is your business. You're the expert. Tell us.
Thank you.
How can we protect our churches?
Let me step up here and see if I can help everybody out there in Chasing Justice Land. The reality about building security, a facility security, is you have to limit who gets in there and you have to know who's in that facility. So when I secure a school, when I go to a district, schools can lock their doors, and they can only let in the students, the teachers, and the visitors they know are coming. Anybody else that shows up at the door, the building is secured. They can't just walk in anymore. That gives us time to react. Businesses, a lot of them do the same thing. We secure the doors so that they have to hit a buzzer. How many times you go someplace, you got to hit a buzzer, somebody answers you, some disembodied voice, who are you, who are you here to see? And that's very important. Churches, synagogues, and other houses of worship, by their very nature, have to be more open to people to come and go. So when you look at a church, a school building, a business, a building is a building, people go inside and do things. So the mission of the facility is what is important. So when I look at a church built, when I look at a church, and I know you, I did some security for this church around the corner over here, and I've done a couple other religious places. When you look at that, you say, how are we letting everybody in? When you have multiple areas for people to come in, that's a problem, unless you have people there in a position to observe who's coming, who's walking in that door. All right, you see somebody walking in, like this particular guy, apparently he ran in the back door with a rifle, which would be very obvious to see coming up the walkway. He had a rifle. He started screaming anti-Semitic epithets, and then he started shooting. Had they had one area to get in, as he's approaching that door, if you had people watching that, they could have seen this guy approaching and secured the building, okay? Even if you have two areas to get in, because you have a large congregation, have two sets of people eyeballing you. Now, this means you have to take resources that we didn't have maybe available everywhere. And you have to have people watch it. Well, you can train volunteers to be people who would want to work, watch it at church, at synagogue, at any other type of religious facility. Pay attention to who's coming in. At the Sikh temple a few years ago, there were people praying at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and a guy showed up, walked in the front door, and started shooting. This is not unheard of. I go to church every Sunday, and I sit there, and I look around, and I say, where would be somebody coming in the door? What would I do? So my advice to everybody is this. Limit the access to the facility. If you have 5 doors open, knock it down to 3. Make sure people are watching. They have a radio. They have communications with each other. So if they see something happening, they can take some action. Train these people to understand what is suspicious behavior. What does it mean? What does suspicious look like? Well, people that are mentally deranged, you know, you may not be able to tell just by looking at them right away, but you can see when people are acting strange. They're hiding something in their jacket. Look it around. The regular people that walk in, people just walk in normally. They're smiling. They're talking. You get somebody by themselves. They seem to be concealing something. That is a concern. That's something you have to train people to look for. Then train them what to do. All right. How do we close and lock those doors very quickly? Are the doors protected? That if we were to close them very quickly, what would stop somebody from getting through? So all of these kind of things are done in a threat assessment for a religious facility, which I would be very happy to do for your church at no cost because I care about people. Okay, now I have a business that does that, but you know I know Bill. So hey, if you know me out there, give me a call. Maybe I can help your church out. But the bottom line is we have to limit who gets in. We have to have people watching. We have to have communications, and we have to harden the facility a little bit. We have to be prepared to react. Just leaving the doors opening and hoping for the best, there's going to be another one before you know it.
There was one suggestion that you had made that we have already implemented, and that was we do have a security team. However, as soon as the service starts, we lock the doors.
Perfect. That's
and
perfect.
That was your suggestion, and we've taken that to heart, and we do that every single service. If you leave, you got somebody at the front door, they'll let you back in, as long as they know you.
But will they let me out?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You can get out. You just can't get back in once it starts. That, Bill, is right along the lines. When I talk about schools, I tell people, if you have auditoriums, if you have gyms, if you have cafeterias, let all the kids come in. They all come in. They're going to sit down, have their lunch or whatever. As soon as the last kid gets in for whatever class it is or what they're doing, close the door and lock it. All right? Now, if a kid needs to go out, they can go out. When they come back, they have to knock. You let them in. You control that space. So in a religious facility, you know, other than sometimes, you know, I get there 5 minutes late in the middle of the, the scriptures starting to read. Other than that, the door should be closed. Mass starts at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. At 12:01, those doors are closed. And now you have people there watching to see what's going on. I come running up late. They eyeball me. They see I'm there with my wife and my kids. They let me in. And I go in and I sit down and go to church. Securing our location so people can't sneak up on us is huge. And that means having people trained to look and see what's going on. Awareness, not paranoia, awareness.
How about a window? I'm thinking, my church, there's no window, so if they lock the doors, right, and I just show up late, which typically I do, and I knock on the door, I could be a nut. Mm-hmm. How would they know who I am?
Well, this is what
I'm
talking about.
If they had a window there, you know, just so they could look out. Oh, yeah, I've seen this guy before.
Yes, absolutely. You have to be able to evaluate the person. That's what I'm talking about, train people to evaluate them. What I tell schools is if you have a door that doesn't have a window in it, and the window should be secured with lots of material, can secure the windows. If you have the delivery to a lot of the schools, the delivery door for the school cafeteria, whatever, the guys come up, they ring the bell, and the people working there just open the door. Well, that's not a good thing. So I tell them, put a camera out there with a monitor right inside the door. As the guy's walking up, you can see who's out there. Is he hiding something? Is he stooping over? In 2018 and beyond, we know when you approach a facility that's secure, you look into the camera, you take your glasses off, you look straight ahead and you answer their questions. If you see people not doing that, they're looking away, they don't want to answer your question, they look like they're hiding something, it's simple. Don't let them in. It's better that they be upset and not get in than to say, hey, take your glasses off so we can see what's going on. Who are you? They don't want to do that. That's suspicious. We don't let those people in. But keep this in mind. There is no perfect answer. Big talk out there right now, everywhere, schools, businesses, is having armed guards on location. All right, I just spoke to somebody about this morning. They called up. They said, hey, we're going to get an armed guard at our church. What do you think? Well, having somebody who's armed at the facility is better than not having someone who's armed at the facility. If they happen to see it, they can engage and maybe protect people. But if you got somebody in the front of the synagogue And the bad guys coming in the back door of the synagogue, that's really a false sense of security, just like a school. You have one armed police officer in a high school. He's on the second floor by the math wing, and the dude shows up at the gym in the back door. He's far away. There's a lot of victims in between. So you need either multiple people, or you need to train people to understand what suspicious looks like, what is strange behavior, and how to deal with that. So I want to thank you guys very much for letting me answer some of those questions. I know out there you probably have a lot more questions. Reach out to me, Jay Pangaro, the letter J, P-A-N-G-A-R-O, at truesecuritydesign.com, and I can answer your questions. I have a lot of material I can give you for free. I don't mind answering questions and helping you through this stuff. In this day and age, we have to pay attention. We have to be aware and prepare. We're not paranoid. We have to be aware of what's going on around us, prepare to respond, and train all the people who need to be trained. And then we hope for the best, because sometimes that's all we have. So gentlemen in the neighborhood, thank you very much. I appreciate your time. Everybody out there in Chasing Justice Land, remember, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. We'll see you next week. We'll